Welcome to you both.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I just want to read one thing, and it may embarrass you, Joe, but it's one of these notices you got from the Wall Street Journal here. Mm. It says, after 30 albums as a leader and at least 25 years in the spotlight, it's clear Joe Lovano is more than a dominant figure in jazz. He's jazz's answer to George Clooney or Jeff Bridges, a vibrant player who delivers an award-worthy performance every time out. Hmm. I think we just sold the show.
We play at 8 o'clock tonight. Where are we playing, Tom?
The Dalton Center Recital Hall on the campus of Western Michigan University, from which we speak right now.
Fantastic. Folks, tickets are available at the door, or you can look online at the MillerAuditorium.com website.
Absolutely.
And there you go, 387-2300. Why don't we just start off with some music here?
This is my new release on Blue Note Records, my latest. It's called Cross Culture. And it features my one of my current bands, Us Five. We have 3 CDs out on Blue Note over the last few years. And the group features James Wideman on piano, Esperanza Spalding on bass, Otis Brown III, and Francisco Mela on drum sets. So it's a quintet with a double drummer configuration. And we have a lot of fun exploring music and ways of playing together. This recording, Cross Culture, also features Peter Slovoff on bass as well and Lionel Lewecki on guitar. But this particular tune we're going to hear, Blessings in May, is just the quintet.
What a great way to start the day here on this Friday, listening to Joe Lovano and Us Five, with Joe Lovano here in the studio, as well as Tom Kanifik, who's head of jazz department at Western Michigan University, and together they're in concert tonight with student ensembles starting at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Well, Joe, I'm terribly curious, how brave are you to invite not one but 2 set drum players into your group?
Well, I'll tell you, to have a quintet with a double drummer configuration gives so many possibilities for things to happen, you know, spontaneously within the band. I have, of course, a quintet sound. Then I have 4 quartets, 10 trios, 9 duets, and 5 unaccompanied voices that shift and take shape as we play. So each player in this music, in jazz music, has his own personality and his own personal history, where they're from. Francisco Mela's from Cuba, Santiago de Cuba. Otis Brown's from Newark, New Jersey. Their natural feelings are really different, okay? They both are inspired and influenced by the masters of jazz drumming, Max Roach, Art Blakey, Elvin Jones, Ed Blackwell, Billy Higgins, Billy Hart, Jack DeJohnette, and others. But their natural feelings are all their own. And when you can tap into that as an improviser and a player, that's when you emerge as a personality on your instrument. So in this particular quintet, a lot of personality. And it's you have to play with an egoless approach so you can share the space. two, three saxophone players play together, why can't two drummers? And throughout the history of jazz, there's been a lot of configurations with double drummers through the years in very creative ways. Ed Blackwell and Billy Higgins with Ornette Coleman, Rashid Ali, Elvin Jones with John Coltrane. There's been Max Roach and Buddy Rich together, did an incredible record with band, you know, with a band, and shared the space together, you know. So there's been a history like that, but for me to put a quintet together like this was and to really present has been a lot of fun. It's really inspiring, and we have three recordings out. And I mentioned Folk Art, Bird Songs, which we're going to get to something from in a moment, a collection of Charlie Parker's compositions, but put together in a different light with this particular band, you know, and Cross Culture.
Mm. People love trilogies. Is this the completion of a series, or will there be more from us?
Well, we're playing. Oh, no, there'll be more. This is an ensemble. When I, you know, instead of calling it the Joe Lovano Quintet, when people see the Joe Lovano Us Five, that means the double drummers. Because I have another quintet that Dave Douglas and I are playing together in that we co-lead. That's more of a trumpet, saxophone front line with a rhythm section, you know? So the just saying Us Five, for me, signifies this double drummer approach. And we just did a week at the Village Vanguard like 3 weeks ago in New York.
Now, I'm wondering if there is an arc to the three. Did the first one inspire the next?
Well, yeah, you know, the first one was all my original compositions, as this, Cross Culture. So Folk Art was the springboard for the band. We had been playing together, and I wrote the music for that recording for the band. And then Bird Songs came together as the second record, because in live performances, I would touch a Thelonious Monk classic. I would play a John Coltrane tune. I would play a Billy Strayhorn piece. I played a Charlie Parker piece one day, and we did. We actually went and played on Barbados. Ooh. Okay, it was a Barbados Jazz Festival. So we went there, and Charlie Parker had a tune called Barbados. It's a really hip blues. So I wanted to play that tune down there. And we played it in a real calypso feel and a very different than what Bird did on it, you know. And I came back to New York and we had a week at the Village Vanguard and I played Barbados and a few other Charlie Parker themes in our set. And Bruce Lundvall and some folks from Blue Note were there and immediately were like, oh, yeah, you know, can we do a Charlie Parker type record? We talked about it, you know. So that tune, Barbados, was the first piece. And then I did a famous tune called Donna Lee, which is attributed to Miles and Charlie Parker. And I played it as a ballad. It's usually played at a very fast tempo. It's a very complex theme, you know. And I played it as a ballad, and it was like a through-composed, amazing composition, and it felt like a Coleman Hawkins-type solo or something. So then I started to reshape some of Charlie Parker's tunes and play them the way I felt them rather than trying to play him the way Bird felt. I mean, you can't tell someone else's story, but the sequence of harmonies there, the melodic structures are there, and to try to make them your own is a real beautiful challenge, and I think we really touched on some nice things on Bird Songs.
Yeah. Tom, Joe Lovano can do anything. He's got 1,000 tunes in his head. He can arrange. He can improvise on this. What do you do when you get an artist like this in town to play with the university students?
Well, the thing is we have to go back further than that because he was one of my first ideas of what, you know, a potential great jazz artist would be because I knew you know, I was a few years behind him in school, but I knew of his prodigy when he was, you know, just graduating from high school. It was kind of known in our family. We had family kinship and stuff, and I was, you know, just getting in the world of music a little bit, sixth, seventh grade. And I, you know, I'm told somebody, he might have spoiled it for a lot of other people, because he was my idea of what the potential of a jazz artist could be. And what's the word, the term we use a lot now is lean in. This guy's been leaning in, you know, forever. And then you get the results of that. He's been an inspiration to people that came, you know, all over the world. But the people that grew up in the Cleveland scene, it's like, you know, it was like the Statue of Liberty for jazz for us. We just kind of saw him. You know, it's a funny thing.
Come on,
yeah,
Tom.
No, it's been a beautiful. It's been a.
What about George Clooney?
Oh, no. But he can't swing. You know, it's just been a wonderful.
I don't know.
Thing,
his aunt know? Was Rosemary
yeah.
Clooney,
maybe. I bet he dances great at the very least. You know, but it's just been a thing that, you know, been watching it and being around it, and got to play with him in college and cross paths on a somewhat regular basis. So. You needed to hear that backstory for me to even begin to answer your question. And it's that, you know, I told somebody this morning already, we've got somebody that embodies, you know, the history of this music, which is only a century old for a classical music. We're still a baby, you know, but who embodies the whole history and is also illuminating the future for us. So that's a serious fulcrum, you know, artistically. And the kids are just, you know, eating it up, and my colleagues are falling over themselves. We're just having a great time, you know.
Joe got in last night, and the concerts tonight, so mm-hmm. bringing it all together with both ensemble, both the Western Jazz Quartet,
yes,
and an additional portion with the University Jazz Orchestra.
Yes, yes. We had a rehearsal yesterday, did a master class right from the airport, you know, tried to leave New York at 5 in the morning. And finally got to AZO at 1, and we had a class already scheduled, and he just went right to the class, did that, right to the big band rehearsal, which went very, very smoothly. We did always do a preview at the Union. We kind of don't advertise it too much. We want people to come to our Dalton recital hit. That went very well last night. We'll have our one rehearsal with the WJQ right after this, and then sound check at 6:30, and we start swinging at 8.
It was really fun last night. The band is full of some amazing, young, beautiful musicians. And I'm really proud to see Tom rise into this position here at the university also, because he graduated high school with one of my younger brothers. And I kind of split Cleveland and went to Boston and to Berklee College of Music in 1971 when I graduated high school. And it's been great to see some young folks like Tom really emerge and develop in the art of this amazing music that we live in. You know,
this wouldn't be a center for jazz studies if it weren't really for Tom.
It takes a lot of love and passion for folks to really have that dedication, and things just happen naturally when that's going on. You know?
I have to say, every time I've spoken to young jazz artists, I remember a couple of vibraphone players coming in. They could, that were university trained, not only were they very comfortable in this world of improvisation, which still amazes me, but they could talk about, you know, Debussy and Stravinsky and the theory of music. They are possibly the very best trained musicians on the planet.
You know, when you live in the world of music, a lot of things come together, you know. You live within the history of the music, you know, and in classical music, the deep roots that are there in composition and orchestration, you know, and themes and variations, you know. And jazz music is about the blues and telling your personal story, but you're dealing within all of the elements of music in general, you know. But now it's a matter of executing your ideas and to improvise and to create music spontaneously with others is truly an amazing art form. And when you are touched by players like that, it's something. There's a lot of magic there that's happening.
Will there be some Joe Lovano originals on tonight's concert?
There'll be
mostly originals.
Five of the seven big band charts, and you know, all of the small group charts. We may come up with something else to add to the set that hasn't been discussed yet. But it's really about celebrating Joe's work and that lean in thing. He just hasn't stopped producing, you know, ever, you know, and he's reinventing the way he puts music together. I mean, just on the way here from the hotel, he outlined in a couple of weeks, was it three nights with like six different setups of groups?
It's six nights, a different group each night at a space in New York called The Stone that John Zorn curates. And he gave me a week, and I decided to do a different group each night from my history. I just turned 60, so I'm calling it Lovano at 60.
Great.
Well, we just heard Us Five, and here's a different configuration on the Sonata Suite for the Brussels Jazz Orchestra. You'll have to...
Yeah, this is something I did earlier this year, and it's just being released now on the Half Note record label. I went to Belgium, and Gil Goldstein, who's an amazing pianist and accordionist, and who's featured on my release Viva Caruso from a few years ago, I had him do these orchestrations of my compositions. And on that recording, Viva Caruso, we played a tune called The Streets of Naples that I wrote in celebration of Enrico Caruso and his life and the fantasy of him growing up. And I wrote this tune, and I remember when I wrote it, I called my mom and I played it for her over the phone. And I said, Ma, I wrote an Italian song. It was like, you know. I do. So this release is called Wild Beauty, and this is The Streets of Naples.
Having a great time here in the studio with Joe Lovano and Tom Kniffick. Wow, that is a terrific track from Sonata Suite, a CD with the Brussels Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to record and have Gil Goldstein do some orchestrations of my tunes that he really knew, you know, and had fun arranging and putting together, you know. And then when we were in the studio, a lot of things took shape. With the way that I wanted the band to play, you know, especially that ending march and the very beginning, to feel like a street band from the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, the first time we played through that, okay, I had a baritone player. He's trying to play like Jerry Mulligan. Mm-hmm. I had a clarinet player who wanted to play like Buddy DeFranco or Benny Goodman or something. I had to stop them. I said, hey, man, this is before any of those cats even were alive. I told a clarinet player, I said, man, you have to sound like you've been playing that horn about 6 months. And I told the baritone player, I said, yeah, Jerry Mulligan, Pepper Adams, those cats, they were just a dream at this point.
Right.
You know, it's like some street music, you know, and to give imagery and to really speak about things that aren't just the notes, you know. It goes beyond the notes. It's the feeling and the attitude about how to play together. And I think we captured some very special moments there.
You know, when you turn over this CD cover and read the names of some of the soloists, they're very unrecognizable, that you wouldn't expect, like Bo van der Werf or Bart.
Oh, Bo was on the
Bart de Voort.
Bart de Voort.
Jeroen van Malderen. These are international names playing great jazz with
Well,
me.
A lot of these folks in this particular group are players that I've known for a while. I did some master classes and workshops in Belgium in the late 80s. There were two, Lundi der Tanz was one in the French part of Belgium, and in the Flemish part, there was another workshop that we did. So a lot of these these guys were all like in their late teens and stuff when I first met them back in the 80s. And through the years, they've really have emerged as some of the leading players in Belgium and in Holland and in that area in Europe. And have created this Brussels Jazz Orchestra. Kenny Werner did a beautiful piece with them also over the last few years and has been working with them a lot. So this was a project that kind of came together through Half Note Records, Jeff Levinson, and they're based at the Blue Note Club in New York City.
I have to ask if it's hard enough to be an American kid wanting to become a professional jazz player, what about a Belgian kid who wants to become
a player? Yeah, you know, it's a very international music these days, and there's stuff happening all over the world.
So
and,
you can do it.
All over, man. And China's starting to think about it, you know, education program they're looking into.
But the thing about the European scene, especially Amsterdam and Paris and Copenhagen, and you know, through the years, from the 40s and the 50s, a lot of expatriate master musicians went to Europe and lived. Ben Webster, Oscar Pettiford, Kenny Clark, Bud Powell, Dexter Gordon, Johnny Griffin, to name a few, Don Byas, you know, Coleman Hawkins. A lot of cats moved to Europe.
Sidney Bechet,
you know, they not only created audiences, they taught everybody how to play and what was happening in the music, you know, and it's snowballed into an amazing scene in Europe, all in the different regions of Germany and France and Italy, which I just came back from a tour, Spain, the Scandinavian countries. There's an amazing scene going on through the years, and festivals that are in their 50th year anniversary and 40th year, and you know, like that.
And then the radio orchestras, I mean, they have full-time, right, you know, like Lincoln Center style quality bands, you know,
For years and years, and a lot of them were filled with American master musicians through the years, and people like Bob Brookmeyer and Mel Lewis and Thad Jones and Oliver Nelson and Ernie Wilkins, you know, arrangers set up this amazing world. Now it's diminished a lot. In Germany, there used to be like four or five or six radio full-time orchestras playing jazz and filled with all kinds of amazing players, you know. Now there's maybe two or three, you know.
I have to jump in here and say, if you want some live jazz, come down to the university's Dalton Center Recital Hall at 8 o'clock tonight for Joe Lovano with the Western Jazz Quartet and the University Jazz Orchestra. And if you like any of the sounds you've heard this hour, joelovano.com is the place to find all the music, including 23 releases on Blue Note Records and dozens
and
more.
And lots of other stuff.
That's right.
Nice.
Well, Tom, any final thoughts on tonight?
It's just a big thrill for me, and you can't imagine the impact and the vibe and the feeling and the sense of community and commitment to the music that having somebody, Joe, here creates for our students, colleagues, but also for the people that will be fortunate enough to be in the house tonight. So I hope everybody takes advantage of that. Thank you for being here, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Tom, and carry on. Thank you also for playing the music and sharing these things with everyone.
I want to share one more from Bird Songs.
Oh, yeah, this is Bird Songs. This is one of Charlie Parker's amazing pieces of music. It's called Passport.